With the view from her Jerusalem window, here's Andrea Simontov.
Hello, Andrea Simontov. How are you?
Tova, how are you?
Very well, thank you. Very well. Simon's not joining us today, but he will be back next week. He's taken this week off. Andrea, what are you seeing outside of your Jerusalem window?
You know, I'm seeing everybody in good spirits getting ready for, indeed, Yom Kippur. You know, I wrote to the station, you guys, you're very strict, you're very tough.
Why?
You ask me each week, you know, what is the topic? I don't know the topic half the time. I wake up, I think, gee, what's going on? Oh my gosh, Kathy wants a topic. And then I thought to myself, you know what? Everybody is in Yom Kippur vibe here. And it's staggering. I was at the Kotel the other night, and I'm the only Jew who forgot that it was Slichos. Okay? You know,
Explain Slichos for our listeners who don't know what Slichos is.
The difference between the Sephardim and the Ashkenazim, there's a lot of differences. Okay? Better food, worse food. But the real Slichos is the forgiveness service. Sephardim, North African Jews, and of course, indeed, the Ladinos, they begin this extra service a month before the High Holy Days, meaning they get up at really the crack of dawn or stay very up at night, and they have all kinds of different singing and prayers, and it's very actually uplifting as they're opening up the gates of heaven. Ashkenazim, who my husband says have less to repent for.
Oh, really?
Because he's South African. But anyway, we only do it a week a week before. Having said that, I forgot that it was Slichos at the Kotel. So Kathy, I just love sharing this. So suddenly the chauffeur is sounding. The place was packed. It literally took me. I went to a parking space about a mile and a half away, thinking I'm so clever. It took forever to find a spot. I got to the Kotel about 12:30 at night, and it was packed with religious Jews, secular Jews, women soldiers. It was beautiful, just really beautiful. Tourists. And then you keep hearing the sound of the chauffeur piping through.
Wow.
And I started to take notice. And I saw that there were some people who looked and they smiled and they took pictures over the men's side. Oh, there they're blowing that Jewish horn thing and liking it and seeing it as this kind of cultural experience. And then there were these few women peppered throughout the section who would become paralyzed at the sound of the chauffeur. And I thought about that because I said, you know, if somebody was listening to this and say, it's really a bad instrument, you couldn't, I mean, you know, in an orchestra, you wouldn't say, now let's hear from the chauffeur section. You know, they wouldn't have it. It's sad.
Right.
And yet for us, when we hear it, and on Shabbos, actually it was Rosh Hashanah, someone told a story about the chauffeur, a car related to the chauffeur. It was wonderful. It was about a whole office filled with people going for a job interview. And there was music being piped in, you know, that horrible elevator music, that Muzak?
Yes.
And it was being piped in, everybody's sitting around filling out their applications. And suddenly, one man, one applicant of about 12, jumps up, smashes open the boss's office and says, I'm here. And the boss comes out and says to everybody, all of you go home. The job has been filled. So what happened? Apparently there was Morse code that was being mixed into the music.
No way.
And this guy understood Morse code. And what the Morse code said was, as soon as you get this message, you stand up and burst into my office. He did it and everyone else was sent home. Well, there's the message of the chauffeur. Some of us are going to get it. Some of us are going to hear it. Some of us are going to hear the calling, the message, the heartbeat. And others are going to say, that's nice, it's music. I just went crazy for this. And I thought about the Nila ceremony. You know, the Yom Kippur is broken up into five distinct prayers. And the Nila at the end, it's not sad. It's not scary. It's not, oh my gosh, I hope I pass the test. It's, oh my gosh, thank you. It's knowing that we've passed the test, knowing that we've been given a fresh canvas, knowing that we have to paint every tomorrow. And one other thing I wanted to tell you, because I said, what is the topic? And the topic was how much I love Yom Kippur. And I love it because I come from a family of business people. And usually you say, well, you make 30% profit on this, 80% profit if you're really lucky. And here we're given this opportunity for one day of deprivation, one part. And what is the return we're asking for? We're demanding a 365% return on our investment.
Incredible.
Is that crazy? If you were in business, you wouldn't think twice. You say, what do I have to do? Wear no leather, no perfume. I can't drink. I can't eat. Yes, give me a Yom Kippur headache. Don't give me a Tzom Kal, an easy fast. Let it be a hard fast. Let it be a meaningful fast. But let me reap the 364 or 365% profit. I'm in.
Yeah.
And this is what makes it so. So instead of going into it with the, oh my gosh, I hope I make it. Let's start taking those pills and drinking the water. Let's say, oh my gosh, how he loves us. Look at the deal of the century, and no one else gets it.
I think that's an amazing insight. That said, I think that we do need that seriousness, that gravitas, because otherwise as human beings, I don't think it's part of the human condition that we just do things. I mean, the hardest lessons that we ever learned, or the most real lessons that we ever learned, come through adversity, don't they?
You know, Kathy, you're really making me teary today. You're bringing tears to my eyes, because this whole Yom Kippur thing is absolutely, it's our opportunity to raise our fists to the heaven and say, give me, give me, give me. And to know we're unworthy. And it's crazy, because what we want from God, we wouldn't do to one another. We wouldn't pardon blindly. Yeah. We're not so forgiving. And you know, we say, turn your eyes. Don't look at all the crummy stuff I did this year. Don't look at the way I used my mouth. Don't look at how I was abusive to others and ignored some. Don't look at that. And yet, what do we do? I'll show her. I won't talk to him. He dared. He did. I always say, thank God is God, because we would not be up to the job. We wouldn't be up to the challenge.
Absolutely.
It takes a God to be that kind and that loving and that embracing.
100%. And that is where we leave it this week. So the next time we speak, the fast would have been over. And I don't know why it's called a fast when it really does go so slowly. Right?
Oh, Kathy, I wish you a gemar and a chatima tova. And to everybody listening, and to all of South Africa, and call of Am Yisrael, and call all of course, Eretz Yisrael, and the whole world, let us all be blessed. And thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you.
To share my heartbeat and my thoughts with my brothers and sisters overseas.
Oh, such a pleasure. Andrea, just before I let you go, I just want to kind of sum things up, that on Yom Kippur, the sins between man and the Almighty God, Yom Kippur provides atonement. Sins between man and his fellow, Yom Kippur does not provide atonement. You have to approach the other person, right?
Absolutely.
To ask for atonement, to ask for forgiveness. And sins between man and his wife, Yom Kippur does not get involved. So thank you very, very much, Andrea. Have a Shana Tova, and we will see you on the other side.
God bless.
God bless. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.